whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Company Break, a brand new program on WCRI. We know that the community is built on the backs of local businesses. This is why we've invited the people behind those businesses to share their story with you. The WCRI Company Break is a half-hour program on the first Saturday of the month, and during the program, you'll hear how a business started, who their customers are, upcoming projects, general advice, and where they see their company in the future. Today, we welcome All Outdoors Power Equipment and Narragansett Pest Control. For those of you who don't know, it's kind of two businesses in one, and we're going to find out all about that today. We have here in the studio with us Peggy and Jim Siligato, and they are here to talk about the two companies that have become one. Narragansett Pest Control was started just about 40 years ago. Is that correct, Peggy?
Yes, it's been about 40 years that we started Narragansett Pest Control.
And what made you decide to start a pest control company?
Yes, it is a little unusual, I guess, for it to start a pest control company, but it is quite exciting. Pests are, you know, what most people think of pests are insects, and they're very fascinating to study. So we didn't start the business because we wanted to get rid of them all. We started the business because we love studying insects and rodents and wildlife in this area.
Interesting. And Jim, this was is this how you met, on a date studying insects?
Yeah. Well, maybe how we ended up.
All right.
We met completely different.
Oh, completely nothing to do with that, right? Nothing to do with that. But now it's become a family business, right?
Yeah. We have six children, and everybody's some way involved in the business.
And this is a business that's located in South County, but can service the whole general area of Rhode Island and southeastern Connecticut, correct? Yeah, you go everywhere?
We've been to Cape Cod to control deer ticks on a private island. We've traveled throughout New England for special cases.
Now, let's just talk a moment, because we're not going to have... I have a feeling this time is going to fly by, because you could probably spend a half hour talking about one specific subject. So I'm going to do my best to try to touch on all things, but just a moment on All Outdoors Power Equipment. How did that come about?
Well, we were looking for an establishment that we can set up our pest control business, and we realized that All Outdoor Power Equipment was for sale. And what better marriage between pest control and power equipment? Because many of the problems that people have on their home, they can solve by themselves with power equipment. Just cutting your grass short or trimming a branch, things to that effect.
So that was a way of another form of pest control. Almost,
yeah, non-chemical pest control, sure.
Non-chemical. So off air, I know when I first met you, you were talking about not planting or landscaping things that attract pests of some kind or another. Is that a good idea?
Well, it's a great idea to beautify your landscape. I know a lot of the trends today is to plant things that attract wildlife to your yard. Well, that sounds great because wildlife is beautiful, but the real facts are that wildlife carry diseases and things. By attracting things that attract wildlife to your property, you may be attracting the vector rabbit species, which are raccoons, bats, woodchucks. All these animals carry rabies. So we're really concerned about those coming to your yard in search of these food that you're planting.
Now, being careful if something like that does come into your yard is very important. And I guess as a person that's not involved in the business, I found out that all you have to do is touch them in some cases, right?
Exactly. If you touch a bat that's come into your house and you pull it off you and throw it out the window, the health department in Rhode Island will recommend that you get rabies shots. And unless you call the health department, you don't know that.
Right.
And, you are at risk, because the problem with rabies is that you don't know that you have it until you're almost dying from it. It takes a couple of weeks for you to get symptoms, and then it's really too late for the rabies shots. So they say any exposure you've had to wildlife that has the target species that carry rabies, you should get shots.
Right. And the same thing for things like ticks, is, Jim. You can just pick up a tick and get Lyme disease from that, right?
Oh, yeah. Lyme disease is non-forgiving. Once you get Lyme disease once, it happens more often than you want it to. And the symptoms are worse and worse and worse.
Now, I know that both businesses carry an extensive line of products, and people that are just listening to the program say, well, I don't think I have any ticks in my yard, or I don't have any bats or things like that. But almost every homeowner is going to be involved with some kind of pest or another, whether it's a raccoon or whether it's something just coming into their yard. I know squirrels sometimes can be a big problem in southern New England. And you handle all of those kind of things, right?
Yeah, I think that's where our business is unique. We do not say no to about anything. You know, we control every pest, whether it's wildlife, termites, ticks, just carpenter ants, powder post beetles. I mean, in order to do structural pest control, you need to know everything, because you can't just go and assume it's termites. You could have powder post beetles, wood boring insects, carpenter ants, carpenter bees. There's a lot of pests that get into the structure. There's a lot of pests that get into your yard. So you have to really know everything to be able to identify it properly so you can treat it properly.
Now, can people capture something? And when I say that, I'm kind of using air quotes that people on the radio can't see, but can somebody take an ant or what they think is a flying ant or some kind of bug and put it in a jar and bring it to you? Is that a good way to determine or help determine?
Yeah, that's great. We usually ask for about 10 specimens when you capture something, and preferably don't crush it. It's really hard to see what it looks like
when it's all crushed. Smushed up, right?
You know, but you can take it, put it in a jar, put it in your freezer, and let it get frozen and bring it to us. And that's an easy way to have things identified.
What a great idea. And I never would have thought of that. I would have thought of capturing it, but never thought of freezing it. So that's a good way to preserve the integrity so that you can see exactly what it is. And let's talk a moment about all outdoor. The power equipment division of what you have, because you have a lot of product in stock. You have things like chainsaws and things that people need to help control that landscaping and those bushes and so forth and so on. What kind of products do you think people need to have in their house that maybe they don't? Anything that you'd say, well, I wish everybody had one of these because it would make our job easier or our life easier? Or should, for example, if you're a homeowner, should everybody have a chainsaw? Should everybody have, should they be worried about trimming their hedges or cutting their grass real low?
No, I definitely think everyone should not have a chainsaw.
Ah.
Chainsaws are very dangerous. And unless you're really going to use it correctly, it's not the type of thing you want every household to have.
But they can contact you if they need something trimmed or whatever. And
sure. I mean, we sell a full line of climbing equipment, chainsaws, maintaining your equipment, stuff like that.
Okay.
But we can definitely put you in the right hands for the right job.
All right. Well, all right. That's good to know. We want to have people that are intelligent about this, and there's a lot to learn. And Peggy, you talked about different kind of species and things like that could be a pest, and I guess I'd like to just cover a couple of the common ones, and that's, I mentioned squirrels earlier. How do you go about, if there's a squirrel in your attic or something like that, how do you do that? Do you just get up there with a 22 and shoot at it?
Well, I don't think that's allowed to discharge a fire weapon, but we do, we're allowed to carry weapons. However, for the average homeowner, a lot of times people will call us because they hear noise and it sounds like there's raccoons sending bowling balls down the alley.
Absolutely.
And,
I've been there.
So the first step is to go to the house and try to evaluate what they have. I mean, it could still be a rodent. Squirrels are in the rodent family, so they chew. Mm-hmm. All rodents, their teeth continually grow, so they don't have dentists to go to. So their teeth will grow through their skull if they don't gnaw on things. So that's why they chew holes and destroy your property.
Hmm.
So whether it's a mouse, a rat, a squirrel, these all commonly get into homes. We have flying squirrel species as well. So even if you don't see gray squirrels, flying squirrels come out at night and they glide to your house. So a lot of times we can't tell just by a snapshot picture of your house. We've got to get into your private crawl spaces, your attic, and try to evaluate, is it rodents that you have or is it squirrels? And then we're equipped to handle whatever you have, but we've got to figure out what it is first.
Excellent. So there's continually finding out things I didn't know. I've lived in Rhode Island my entire life, and I didn't know we had flying squirrels here. I always thought that was something on Rocky and Bullwinkle.
But, and they call it the perfect pest because they're up all night. They keep you awake. Hmm. You never see any evidence that you have them. And it's like it kind of gets the nickname of the perfect pest because most people don't know what they have. It just drives them crazy with noise and very difficult to control, too.
Wow. All right. Now, let's get to the kind of pests that bother people everywhere, and that's things like flying mosquitoes or that type of thing. I know that your company works for several towns and cities, and tell us a little bit about that. How did that come about?
Mosquito control is basically a wide area of control. I mean, there's plenty of people that go around spray mosquitoes. True mosquito control is basically finding out where the mosquitoes lay their eggs and stopping them from turning into an adult. That's the basic thing. So when we do mosquito control, I mean, we do treatments of properties for weddings and parties and maintenance on lawns also. But true mosquito control is basically finding out the areas where they breed and stop them from breeding in those areas. I can do more damage with a mosquito dipper than a company can do in 5 years with a mosquito sprayer, and I don't use any chemicals. I mean, I can kill a million mosquitoes with one scoop, just as long as you go to the right area. So we try to identify the areas that they're growing from, either put fish in those areas so they eat the larvae, make the area so the water won't pool up, or make the water so it drains off. That's ultimate mosquito control.
So it's stopping it at the source rather than just spraying in your bedroom.
Correct. Once you have an adult mosquito, it's gone too far. You know, that's a last resort is spraying.
We want to stop them before they get to the adult stage. And that is true mosquito control. And that's really more of the town level type work or the state. And we actually work in coordination with the state. And we'll go into a salt marsh, evaluate, you know, if it's, you know, breeding mosquitoes. And then do permitting and get the authorization through Army Corps engineers, through town, and all these permits to modify those. And that takes, you know, years.
Yeah, to mosquito come up control with is years. It's not a week job.
So this again is very interesting and something I'm sure most people weren't aware of. That's the way to stop the pests right at the source and get them before they get started. All right, we're going to take a short break right now, and then I have like 6,800 more questions for you when we come back. We are back on the Company Break program. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Peggy and Jim from All Outdoors Power Equipment and Narragansett Pest Control. Found out some very interesting things in the first segment about pests and mosquitoes and squirrels and flying squirrels and all kinds of things. And during the commercial break, I also found out that, Peggy, you've been teaching at URI for quite a while, so you have some credentials behind you. This isn't just one of those things you decided to do. You actually teach other people about it too, right?
I teach classes, but I'm also a student. You know, I've been teaching at URI for 32 years, but every day I learn something myself. And that's the beauty of teaching is you learn from your students and you learn from talking to other people.
Excellent. And let's get to the all outdoors power equipment portion of this. I know that people have different needs, dramatically different needs. For example, I live in downtown Providence. I have about 28 square feet of grass that I have to cut. And when I first got there, I had this guy come over to me and say, "Well, I'll maintain your property for you." And he wanted $100 to cut this 28 feet of grass.
Jeez.
I found myself an old push mower down the cellar, and I used that, and I seemed to be fine. Now, that's very different from my previous life, where I had 2 acres of grass, and I had to get a riding mower and so forth and so on. Now, Jim, there are different things. I'm just illustrating that you can have all kinds of different things available. And what you do is try to fit the people to what they need, right?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, there's a number of different mowers. We probably have over 100 different models. Whether you're a commercial or you're a homeowner, like you said, you have, you're using a push mower. Mm. Well, let me tell you, your old push mowers are a lot better than the new ones. They were built stronger. They were built to last longer. The new ones are basically built the same, but a lot thinner material.
This one's probably 70 years old. So.
And never get rid of it. And right. If you do, you can give it to me.
Okay.
But basically, when people come in, they're looking at buying machines. Machines are designed, they have homeowners, they have commercial, they have middle-of-the-line machines. Machines are designed by how long you want them to live. So you can buy a machine that lives for a couple of years, you can buy a machine that lives for a very long time. Commercial equipment, when you go into commercial, it's going to cut the grass better, it's going to go a little faster. The thing we look at there is blade speed, how fast that blade is turning compared to a homeowner's lawnmower is turning, whatever, 1,000 times a minute. Whereas a commercial guy's lawnmower is turning 1,800 times a minute. Mm-hmm. So the more that blade turns, the faster it cuts the grass, the finer it cuts it up, the smoother your lawn looks, and the quicker he can get it done. So some homeowners want that quality machinery on their lawn. They want their lawn to look beautiful. Others will walk slower with their push mower, and they'll get the same results you can get from a commercial.
Right, and they'll have a glass of lemonade and stop every 10 minutes, right?
Sure. And most come with cup holders.
Well, there you go. There you go. So now you mentioned you have so many different models, and why all the different models?
Well, there's a number of some people really like front wheel drive, some people like back wheel drive, some people like four wheel drive. So four-wheel drive is basically designed for really hilly areas. Front-wheel drive is designed for straightaways. Rear-wheel drive is designed for a little bit of hill and a little bit of straight. Mm-hmm. If you're leaning back on your handlebars, you're putting all the weight on the back wheels, so you want them wheels to push forward. If you're leaning back and you have a front-wheel drive, all of a sudden the machine starts rolling back on you. That's because you're putting too much weight on it. So everybody has their own needs, depending on what it may be.
And they come in and they talk to you, they describe their terrain, and then you can advise them which direction to go.
Sure. The advantage we have over most of our competitors is we sell many brands compared to selling two or three brands. They'll take two or three brands, put 40 of them out on their floor and say, look at all the mowers we have. But realistically, they're all the same machine.
Now, you're not going to go into your shop, probably, and find a lawnmower, a power lawnmower, for $59.99, right?
No, because mowers are designed to last longer. If you're going to compare apples to apples, if you buy an XYZ machine at my shop compared to an XYZ machine at a big box store, we're usually cheaper because we're a full-line dealer. A big box store is just selling you the box. What else you get is we put our stuff together. If it's going to break, it's going to break before you get it. So when you get a piece of equipment, you're assured that it's going to run, you're going to assure that it's put together correctly, and you're going to get the best advantages that machine has for your property.
So I don't have to worry about going to your shop, buying something, and then trying to put it together.
Oh, very, very rare. I mean, that's usually a real special request if someone wants to put it together. And that's a real no-no as far as we see. Because when our guys get certified, they have to be certified in every aspect of that machine, whether it be the carburetor, the muffler, everything that's involved in that machine. So when they put it together, they run a test before they even put it on your property.
Excellent. And Peggy, I know you mentioned to me that training for your mechanics is a very important thing, and that you have probably the best mechanics around in southern New England.
Yes. Yeah, I really am proud to say we have the best mechanics in the state, and we service what we sell. We will take in mowers that we don't carry, but we like to carry what we sell because we know that product the best, and we stand by those products. So that's why, we have very good mechanics and very top quality equipment that we sell.
Now, you're right on Route 1. You're in the heart of South County. Everybody, everybody has driven by your facility. They know where you are. And it's, I'm sure there are lots more than if you carry 50 different brands or 100 models or whatever it is of lawnmowers or lawn equipment. There's probably 1,000 out there, and people,
exactly.
How do you decide what not to carry? Because you can't carry everything.
Yes, exactly. That's a tough decision, but we'll usually leave that to our mechanics. We know what equipment comes in that always is broke. So we have that advantage of things that when the mechanics work on it, they get frustrated because they can't get spare parts. So a lot of times we won't get that. If the company's not hasn't been around long enough, we usually won't carry their brand because we want a company that's solid. We want to sell something to our customer and make sure they're there for parts next year. We don't want to just take, you know, something made in China that's never you're going to be able to get any replacement parts for or you can't repair.
Right.
You know, so many salesmen stop by and want us to carry their line, and we bring it right to the back, show it to the mechanics. Is this, does this pass our test? And if they can't even unscrew something and to fix it, we don't want it. You know, we want things that can be repaired.
Right. That's a great way to go about it. And if you have any questions, this isn't necessarily a commercial, but they can call the phone number, right, and always ask about the models you carry or if you service their brand, and they can do that by calling 401-789-7997, correct?
That's it. Thank you.
And go to your website, which is alloutdoorspower.com, and they can see a lot of the different brands. And it's pretty amazing to me because you see Briggs & Stratton, which everybody that's ever cut grass knows, that's where probably, 90% of the motors come from the average homeowner, right?
Maybe 20 years ago.
Oh, see how up behind the times I am, yeah. All right. But you carry all kinds of things from Husqvarna to Kawasaki and many, many brands that are very well known. Is there a newer power source than Briggs?
Well, as far as homeowners' engines, it's probably Honda's probably number one.
Really?
Yeah, hands down.
Okay. See, I'm old.
Yeah, Honda's probably a 9, 1 out of 10. Briggs & Stratton's probably 3, 4.
Okay.
That's the difference.
All right. But, you have them all, so that's the good news. Now, when you're talking about... We just had one of the worst snow winters in January and February we've had in a long time. You had a full line of snow blowers and things like that, and that's thankfully at this point in time done now, right?
Yes.
Now, what do people do with a snow blower that's been working hard or a tractor that's been pushing? Can they bring that to you for service at this time of year? Is that a good idea, or should they wait?
Yeah, I mean, if we're not that busy, we're usually jammed right about now on lawnmowers that are getting out there. Always call and ask when to drop off the snowblower. Snowblowers usually around September, October, where you start servicing those for the wintertime. If you're going to do something yourself, you're going to fill that gas tank up to the brim. You're going to put twice as much as fuel stabilizer as the company recommends. You're going to start it up so the fuel stabilizer works its way into the carburetor, and then you're going to let it sit there for the rest of the summer. But fill that tank right to the brim. If you don't fill it to the brim, what happens is condensation builds in there, and then your gas tank is full of water by the time you go to use it.
Now, my father-in-law, that God rest his soul, used to say, don't let your car go, the gas tank go below half full, and he would always talk about that. So there's something to that, right?
Sure. Anybody that's a pilot out there knows exactly what I'm saying. You never get in a plane that had a half a tank of gas. Because the other half is humidity, and that humidity turns into water, and all it takes is one hiccup in the plane, and then it's not good news. So we're going in that same theory as far as power equipment goes.
Excellent.
And stabilizer is very important, too. One thing we really need, we tell everybody that comes into the shop, is that the fuel you buy at the gas tank for your car should not go in your lawnmower without some type of stabilizer.
So they can buy the gas there, but they have to get the stabilizer, and that's something they can get from you, right?
Yes, and very, very important, because so many people come in, and there's no sign at the gas station that says, do not use this in your small engine, but it's the corn oil, it's the E10 gasoline, that is corn. Now, corn is organic material that goes bad. It goes bad and causes problems with your fuel tanks. So we can't stress that enough, because so many people, it's a $100 problem if you don't use stabilizer every time you fill up your gas tank.
And what does a bottle or a can of stabilizer cost? $10?
Yeah, stabilizer is based on how concentrated it is. I mean, you can buy a cheap stabilizer. Mm-hmm. Whatever you buy is
like
better than nothing.
Like a can of motor oil. You can buy all
Yeah, you can buy a cheap. The difference is the concentration. So you can buy it for $5 where you put 1 ounce in per gallon, or you can spend $10, you can put 1 ounce in for 5 to 10 gallons. Mm-hmm. So the more you spend on stabilizer, usually the more concentrated it is.
Excellent tips. See, all these things I'm wearing today, I'm gonna be in good shape now after I'm done with you two. And like I said, we could go on for hours, but I want to change gears again back to the pest control part of it. Unless there's other products you have. I mentioned at the top of the show chainsaws. I know that you do sharpen chainsaws for those people that have them, right?
Yeah. We have a full line of products for chainsaws, including climbing gear. We just got a new chain sharpener. I think there's about 60 of them in the world. I think there's 20 in this country from Germany. So it's a very precise piece of equipment for sharpening chain. But we do a full line of service on chainsaws.
So it's not like my grandfather with a little round quarter-inch file that would be...
Well, we always tell people to sharpen it as many times as you can yourself, and then when you go awry, then you can bring it to us and we'll straighten it up.
And you fix it, right? Like anything else. All right. Back to the pest control. We just got a couple more minutes, and I just want to talk about what should be expected this summer. Is this going to be... Is this the year of the dragon, the year of the mouse, the year of the mosquito? What is this?
I think all pests are love South County, just like we do. And we call them domestic pests because they like the same thing we like. And especially with, you know, if we get a moist summer, you know, we can have more fly problems. If we have a lot of rain, especially with mosquitoes, we'll see what the spring brings. Because it's the early spring breeds that breed the woodland pool mosquito. So we'll see what happens with water levels for that. As far as carpenter ants, if we have floods and things, we're going to get more problems with carpenter ants, termites. You know, they like moist wood. And, you know, a lot of times people have leaky roofs or moisture problems.
Right.
It's not really related to weather. It may be a leaky pipe. But those are usually the areas that get attacked by pests, are those weakened areas. So just inspect your home, because you can have, you know, moisture coming in around a chimney with one rainfall. It doesn't need to be a flood to have water damage.
Excellent. All right. These are all great tips. I want to thank you both for coming in today, Peggy and Jim, from All Outdoors Power Equipment and Narragansett Pest Control. I've learned a lot. I hope that the audience has learned a lot. But most importantly, if they have questions, they can stop in your shop and talk to you. And do they need appointments to find one of the two of you, or are you usually around?
Hopefully we're not there.
But someone will.
But yeah, you can
them.
Always call, and someone will always get back to you.
All right, I gave the number for the Narragansett, for the All Outdoors Power Equipment. For the pest control, if you want to call that directly, you can do that by calling 783-3933. And that's, of course, area code 401. And they're right on Route 1 in South County and very easy to find. Thank you both for coming in. It's been a pleasure.
Great.
Thank you for having us.
All right, everyone. We'll see you next time on Company Break.
Whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start riding to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune. Just do your best and take a rest and sing yourself a song.